Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey, listeners, you know what time it is. It's Smart Brand Marketing time. With me today, I have Leslie Samuel. He quit his job to become a full-time blogger and spend time with his family. He also has a podcast and leads a community of future bloggers. And now I found out he lives in Michigan. Super cold state. He can move anywhere in the world, and he's still in Michigan. Hey, Leslie.
Hey, man. How you doing, Tom? Now you start off the interview, and everybody's wondering, what's wrong with this guy? Why would he still be in freezing Michigan?
Look, man. So this is a very unusual interview in some ways, right? All right. So I've been taking my audience on a journey in content marketing. Right. But at the same time, I never, ever, ever tell anyone starting out to become a blogger. Like, that's the one thing I would tell them not to do.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm curious. I'm going to flip the interview really quick. Why is that the one thing that you tell them not to do? Why are you leading them down the path of unrighteousness? Let me hear a little more about that.
Because it's so slow. It's so slow, Leslie. They're not going to see results for a year.
Okay, I like where you're starting, because we can unravel a lot of that during the course of this interview.
And that's why I have you on. So what I did think, I was like, okay, this guy, you know, he's leading people down the wrong path. However, he does seem to have a good content plan down, right? So that's the one thing I want to kind of help the listeners and. And how do we develop a good plan for releasing content? And since you say on the website that you know which topics are intriguing and will hit, I want to know about them.
All right. That sounds good to me.
So, Leslie, first, now you tell your side. Why would you tell people to start blogging from the beginning?
That's a great question. So to answer that question, I'll tell you a little bit about what blogging has done for me. I started a biology blog back when I was a high school science and math teacher, because I always wanted to be a university professor. But, you know, I didn't have a PhD, so that wasn't happening. So I started this biology blog to teach exactly what I wanted to teach, the university level biology. Fast forward a few years, that blog the blog grew relatively quickly. It started making money relatively quickly. It landed me a job as a university professor. So it opened those doors for me. And then eventually I left my job to do this thing full time. So it's something that has opened a lot of doors for me. I've traveled all over the world sharing my message. I've been able to connect with some really awesome people. And I work from home now. I'm in my basement and I'm here full time. I'm able to spend time with my family. I've been able to build a very successful business, and I've seen and helped so many people do the exact same thing. So is it slow? Well, is building a business slow? Sometimes. It just depends on how you do it. But for me, I found that it has done exactly what I wanted it to do, and I'm able to now do what I want to do full time. So for me, I love blogging, man. I'm gonna tell your audience, listen, don't listen to this guy, this Tom guy. He has great advice. He does. But in this one instance, I think if you are someone that has something that you want to share with the world, so you have a passion for a specific topic that you want to share with the world, and other people are looking for content on that topic, you become that expert and demonstrate that through your blog and build a solid business in the process.
So when you said relatively quickly, how long was that?
How long was – you have to clarify your question.
Well, you mentioned, you started blogging and relatively quickly all these things happened for you. I want to know about this time. Like, what do you mean by relatively quickly?
Okay, so I started blogging on the biology blog, since I used that example, in 2010, coming down to the end of 2009, the beginning of 2010. In terms of traffic, the first month I got about 400 people to the blog, which to me at the time was like, yo, 400 people are consuming my content. Next month it was 800. Next month it was 2,000. Then it went up to 4,000. And then within a year, I had about 13,000 people coming to the blog a month. At that point, that is when I actually landed a job as a university professor. By that time, the blog was making maybe between $1,000 and $2,000 a month. It was something that I was doing part-time. And then, you know, I continued at my job for 3 more years, and then I left to do this full-time.
So, see, here's my trouble with blogging. And, yep. You know, even though you said I'm giving bad advice, this is why I give this advice.
I want to hear it. I really want to hear this.
So when it comes to blogs, I see people picking the wrong niches. So maybe one of the things is, you know, don't start a travel blog. Don't start a blog about yourself. Don't start a blog about what food you eat. You know, like with you, okay, you mentioned biology. Now, I'm not sure how deep you went into the topic, but that's a pretty niche topic, right? That's something that you don't have as much competition. An average blogger will not get 400 viewers in the first month or 13,000 in a year. It'll probably be 400 by the end of the year if they even have enough good pictures about, you know, travel. There's just so many of them. The second thing is the money thing, right? How do you monetize this? Without decent traffic or super niche traffic, it's going to be hard to monetize it in a way that matters, right? With AdSense, you're going to make pennies, you know? I mean, I've done well with AdSense before, but, you know, it was a super shady time and, you know, I don't want to go into that.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting to me the arguments that you're making, because you can almost make that argument for just about any kind of business, right? Most of the people that get into business fail at business. That's just reality, because business is hard. The question is it worth it? Now, you spoke about choosing a niche and you don't want to be a travel blogger. Well, maybe you do want to be a travel blogger, but maybe not a general travel blogger, going along the lines of some of the things that you're saying. What if you are a travel blogger that specialized in people going to the island of St. Martin or something of that sort? And you are the one that's known for that specific sub niche of travel bloggers. It is very possible to build something substantial off of that. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I disagree with a lot of it, because a lot of what you're saying just applies to business in general. So many people try at business and they fail at business. The key is to do it the right way. Choose that niche. That niche that's not very broad, because, you know, we're kind of far into the game of blogging right now. So specialize in one, even if it's a tiny niche. In many cases, that is much better. If, you know, a food blogger, well, yeah, you could be a food blogger, but it's going to be hard to get traction. But what if you are a food blogger specializing in gluten-free recipes for vegetarians who work out at CrossFit or something of that sort? There are ways to stand out from the crowd, and it's still very possible. I see people doing it all the time. I work with people that have done it in a bunch of different niches. Homeschool, you know, I had one client, as an example, who teaches parents, mothers specifically, how to homeschool their families from a Christian perspective. And, you know, she is extremely successful with that blog. So is it still possible to be successful as a blogger? Absolutely.
I'm going to push back some more, Leslie.
Yeah, I love this interview. Let's go.
I'm going to push back a little more. Okay, fine. I do agree. With the right niche, you can become successful. But I'll still say don't do it yet.
Okay.
And this is why. So when you do start a blog, you will not see results for 6 months to a year, maybe a little sooner if you're super niche and you got your shit together, but most people don't. So I'm going to stick with it. 6 months to a year, you don't see results. Most people start a blog, they get traffic, and they have nothing to sell. Nothing of value, nothing to offer. Hold on, Leslie.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Nothing to offer, right? If you sell something in person first, or figure out the service or product, or do that, put a landing page and do some paid traffic together and see that it's selling. And now you make a blog around that so that you can eventually start getting free traffic. But you know there's something that's selling and you can make money right away and you got some easy wins under your belt. It's a much different story than just saying, hey, become a blogger and, you know, good luck.
But it sounds like you're still telling them to become a blogger. Well, but you're telling them to do something else first. I don't see anything wrong with that. I can't say, no, don't do what Tom just said. No, what Tom just said makes a lot of sense.
I don't tell them to become a blogger. I'm saying that's a choice you can make at that point, right? Like that's the time when you can actually think about it. But I'm still not thinking.
And what is the choice that they're making to become a blogger, right?
So in the beginning, right when you're selling, when you have a landing page and traffic, you have a couple choices, right? Like a choice which I would often make would be with a lot of my businesses, like, okay, I have a landing page, I have steady traffic, now I'm going to have another choice. So one is getting affiliates, right? Have them bring traffic in. Another one is look for different places where I can get more traffic from.
I got to interrupt you there, because what you're saying right now, what you're telling them to do, most of the people that do that today still don't make money for the first year. A lot of the people that do exactly what you're saying don't do it right. So it's not about whether or not you should do it. It's about, are you doing it the right way? So I have to fight back on that, because what you're saying makes sense. But I believe what I'm saying makes sense. There's so many people that I know personally that have tried what you're saying and they're unsuccessful with it. And there are so many people that have tried what I'm saying and they're unsuccessful with it. So should they not do that? Your argument sounds like, listen, if you go to the gym, yeah, you're going to get healthy eventually. It'll take a 6 months to a year to do that. So just don't do it. That's what your argument sounds like to me. And that part of it just doesn't make sense.
Well, no, because you don't need blogging to make money online. Like, you don't need it, right? It's an option.
Do you need to set up, do you need to do what you said just now to make money online?
Well, you need to sell something, right? I'm just saying.
You need to sell something, yeah.
Yeah, well, so what I'm saying is, when it comes to blogging, right, with my method, you can fail much quicker and change paths, right? With blogging, you don't know if it's working for so long. I mean, if you get lucky, yeah, something happens, right? But if you're just posting blog posts.
Whoa, no, that is not true. I got to fight back. You don't know for so long. A lot of people don't know for so long, but you can actually, if you take the right steps, you can know in a relatively short period of time.
Okay, let's get into it, Leslie.
Give
me the right steps, buddy. This is what I want.
When I started my blog, no, this is great. When I started my blog, in month number two, I made $3,000. But you're telling me that's not possible right now. And I'm telling you, wait, you're telling me what I did is not possible. And it is. The thing is, a lot of people that get into blogging, they just worry about creating content. And hey, creating content is great. And hopefully you attract an audience. You will, if you do it the right way, you choose the right audience, you create the right kind of content and all that kind of stuff. But if you don't start kind of along the lines of what you're saying, thinking about the business model from the beginning and actually testing it out along the way, you just don't know. So it's not about whether you should do it, but it's about whether you're doing it the right way.
I like this. So a little background. Most of the year I spend in Chiang Mai, Thailand, right? Okay. And we have an influx of digital nomads. You know, you probably know what they are. You know, they travel, work, and they're all broke. And they're all starting blogs, right? So when I see this happening, I'm like, oh, man. And I actually wonder now, like, is this Leslie pushing them out? Is Leslie saying start a blog and go to Chiang Mai? Like, is this the guy?
That's great. And what you're saying, just another example of the exact same thing. There are so many YouTubers that hear that you can make money YouTubers. I mean, being a YouTuber, and they're broke.
They're also in Chiang Mai.
And many of them will have like 100, 200,000 subscribers, but they're not making any money. It's not about having a YouTube channel. It's not about having a blog. It's about having a business. And if you're not building a business, now I can wholeheartedly go behind what you're saying. No, what you're doing, it doesn't make sense. You have to build a business. A blog is not a business. I will agree with you on that. A blog is not a business. It's a platform where you can get in front of people, but it's not a business. You could have a blog with 100,000 people coming there every day and not be making a good amount of money. You have to build a business.
And now we can transition. See, because I like when you said that. So now let's assume every person listening does have a business. Because if they don't, if they have nothing to sell, you know, this is probably not the place for them right now. But let's assume there's a service or product that they're selling, right? It could be anything. Now, how do you start a blog around that service? So we're assuming quite a few things, right? That they know what they're selling, it's sold a few copies. Like, how do they choose the right audience on the internet now and blog to them in the proper way?
Well, we're coming with the assumption that they have something to sell. So yes. If you have something to sell, the first question you have to ask is, who are you going to sell it to? Who's that person that is struggling with that problem that you have the solution for? And once you know who that person is, you need to ask yourself some questions. What are their goals? What are the things that they're struggling with? What hurdles are they trying to overcome? And based on that, you can determine the kind of content that you need to create to attract that person. So, for example, with my biology blog, the way I monetized it was two ways. Yes, I had some ads on that, and it brought in, you know, in some months, $2,000 to $3,000 when I was doing it part time. However, I also had a study guide to sell to people that were struggling in physiology. So my question was, if they are struggling with physiology, what are they looking for? What are they going to Google or YouTube and searching for? And that is the kind of content that I created. So the first part of it is determining who you're trying to reach. Who is that person with that pain that you have the solution for? And create the kind of content that they are, not the kind of content that you feel they need, the kind of content that they are searching for. And that is what you're going to build the foundations of your blog on.
You know, there's so much talk about quality content. And I always ask this of every person that deals with content marketing, how would you define quality content, something that Google will like and rank?
I consider the quality content the kind of content that solves a pain, the kind of content that provides value to the person that is searching for it. That for me is quality content.
How long would this content be? What would you put in it? Like, you know, do you have templates?
Yeah. So in terms of how long it would be, the answer is it depends on the audience that you are trying to reach to a certain extent. Now, obviously, for Google, there are certain things that you want to do. You want to make it long enough. I usually tell people 600 to 1,000 words, depending on the type of content that they're creating. It can be it could be longer. It could be shorter, depending on, you know, who they're targeting. Some people go more of a visual route. Some people go more in terms of video. It just all depends. And of course, you want to format it. You want to understand how the search engines work so that you can format your content in a way that gives the search engines the information that they need. So that has to do with your H1 tags, like the headings and the way you lay out your content and the way you link to other pieces of content that you have and other content around the web and certain things that you have to do to make sure that your content is optimized.
Let's talk about the scheduling, right? Because I think that's one of a biggest pain points for people starting out with proper blogging, right?
Yeah.
Like, how much content do you create? How often? How do you schedule this out so that it's not three articles in the first week and then nothing for the next 2 months, right? Because Google does like consistency. So how do you get this whole thing going?
Yeah, so Google likes consistency and your audience, your growing audience likes consistency. I want to know that, hey, I know exactly when Tom is publishing content. So what I tell people, you know, there are a lot of people that teach, hey, if you want to blog and you want to get your content out there, you have to be blogging every single day. And while that works for some people, for most people, it absolutely doesn't. So what I tell people is you want to be blogging. My recommendation is at least once a week. Now, the reason for that is consistency's sake. Do it on the same day, same time, every week. And the people that come to know you and come to know the content that you're creating, they know on Mondays at 8 a.m., they can always count on a new piece of content for you. They don't have to wonder, is it this week? Is it next week? Because, you know, he publishes every other week or the first and third week of the month or whatever the case might be. They know based on your consistency what they can expect. So that's generally what I recommend.
What are some go-to topics for you that you know drive traffic? So I'll give you an example. In the business world that I've seen, the main thing that you can do is income reports, right? That's the one thing that people will always check on. And you know, they can see your progress. They can measure themselves up against your progress. And, you know, and it works. But, you know, for some businesses, you know, being an open book is not the best thing. So what do you recommend?
I come from an education background, and education is huge for me. And education has worked for me in a number of different ways. So I recommend teaching people how to do stuff. People are trying to figure out, you know, how do I, let's say, give me a niche. Just give me a niche really quick.
Well, we're in the business niche or marketing. So let's say marketing.
Yeah. So in marketing, how do I drive traffic to my blog? What are specific strategies that I can implement to drive traffic to my blog? And what I find works very well with that are case studies, because they're educational. It's not fluff. You know, there's a fluff on here are six ways that you can drive traffic, and you just kind of list those ways and it doesn't show people exactly how to do it. I am very big on showing people exactly how to do the things that they are struggling with. So if I am trying to write a blog on how to use YouTube to drive traffic, I will basically walk you through the processes that I went through when I started my YouTube channel for my biology blog, and what specific things I did to drive traffic to the blog. If it's about blogger outreach to connect with other bloggers and drive traffic to your blog, I will show you the exact steps that I took, the spreadsheet that I used, how I reached out to them, the emails that I sent. Those seem to work very well for me.
You know, the problem I have with this strategy is that if you look up almost any of these keywords, right, like how to drive traffic and stuff, you will have hundreds of articles on the same exact topic, and some of them are very big companies. You know, yep. So for someone starting out, if they only hit those topics, even if they're great articles, they will never rank.
Ah, that's what you think, my friend. It just depends on something that we spoke about earlier. I'll give you an example. I have a client that I'm working with right now who has a business blog specifically for pet sitters that want to grow their pet sitting businesses. So you can say that, hey, how to drive traffic to your blog is very competitive, but if you are the person that specializes in how to get exposure for a blog in the pet sitting industry because you built a pet sitting business using a blog and was able to sell it for multiple six figures, and you can walk pet sitters through that process, now you're talking about a completely different thing. You are in that sub niche of people that are specifically looking for that kind of information, and it makes it much easier to stand out. When that pet sitter goes to Google and starts searching for that kind of information and they see yours as opposed to everybody else's, they're going to be much more likely to go to yours as opposed to everybody else's.
So it seems like the trick here, and this is that I keep hearing from you, is finding these sub niches, right? So even when you say how to drive traffic through your blog, you want to find a sub niche because you don't want to go after that main keyword. And look, I'm an SEO guy.
Yeah.
So I completely enjoy when someone goes after that and then reaches out to me and says, hey, Tom, I need you to rank this, you know, because they have a good article, you know, and it's so hard for me to rank websites that have just garbage on it. So if they have a good article, it's like, yeah, sure, you know, I'll rank it. But if they don't want to do the SEO part, you know, initially to get those quick wins, and I think everyone deserves a quick win when they start out because it's so hard being a business person. How do you recommend for them to find these sub niches? Because it's not something you can just think of super quick when you're starting out. You know, you just go after the main keywords.
Yeah. So for me, I come from a completely different perspective than you do. And I'm sensing that in this interview, and that's pretty cool. You know, there are different ways that you can skin a cat. What I like to do for me, when I invest in building a business, I'm building something that I am very interested in. So I kind of come from a perspective of, hey, what can I really get into in addition to what I know other people are looking for. So I go through a few exercises with myself. I ask myself a few questions, you know, what am I interested in? I kind of list it out, and then I kind of do some research on these different topics. And I try to figure out kind of that happy medium of something that I can fully get into and something that people are actually looking for. So keyword research is involved with that. When I started my biology blog, that's exactly what I did. I checked out, you know, different biology terms, and I decided that I'm not just going to do a general biology blog. I decided to focus on physiology. Now, why did I do that? Well, the keyword research looked pretty good. But number two, that's part of my specialty. That's what I studied, and it's what I really enjoy. So I need that happy medium of something that brings me fulfillment as well as something that I know other people are searching for.
And if this was the case, we'd have 90% less bloggers on the internet.
Meaning what?
That they know what they enjoy, what makes money, and found that happy medium. You know, I don't think most people start a blog and most businesses because they enjoy what they're doing and they want to teach, right? It's most about, like, when I talk to clients, it's usually, what's the easy wins with Google, Tom? Can you give me some keywords to just write on that Google will rank us, get us the traffic so I can make more money, right?
So it
comes from a different direction. And, you know, it's not this enjoyment thing. It's just like, I just want to use this to get traffic, make some money. And I don't really care. Like, you know, they always ask me, like, how long should this be? You know, how much effort should I put into it? You know, it's not something that people want to do.
You know why I love what you're saying right now? Because you're actually illustrating what I've been talking about, right? Those are the clients that come to you. Those are not the clients that come to me. Those are not the people that I work with in my one-on-one coaching. The people that I work with are people that are actually passionate about the thing that they're creating content about. And we're kind of going through that process of building a business around their passions. So that for me is part of my sub niche. I am not going for anyone that wants to build an online business just because they want to make money. No, that's what you're going after. And that's perfectly fine. I come at it from a different perspective.
Yeah, but at the same time, we can go about blogging from a lot of different perspectives, but I always want to find that strategy. Because even, you know, whether someone's passionate or not, I mean, even if they just want to do the blog, there's got to be a good, solid way or plan, right, that they can take to make sure that it works out. So when you're telling someone, like, let's say someone comes to you and they're passionate. You got a lawyer, you know, he's super passionate about being a lawyer. And he says, look, Leslie, I want to start a blog. And I'm super passionate. And we both know I want to get traffic and money and make this quick. So in the first 3 months, what should I do to make sure that this happens?
So I don't teach that. And what's interesting about what you're saying, coincidentally, you're talking about a lawyer and all that kind of stuff. I have some business cards right in front of me right now. And one is from Ernie the Attorney. And literally, I'm literally holding it in my hand. Helping lawyers use technology to create magical law practices. This was a guy who was a lawyer and he was very, you know, into technology. So he started a blog to teach lawyers how to use technology, things like Excel spreadsheets and all that kind of stuff. Now, if you went and started a blog on how to use Excel spreadsheets, it's going to be very, very difficult for you to be successful with that. But he specialized in doing that specifically for attorneys. Was this something that he was very passionate about? Absolutely. And did it work for him? Yes. The question is, how did he do it? Well, he chose that sub niche. He started creating the right kind of content. He had his email follow-up sequence and all that good stuff. He started creating products and he started selling it to attorneys. There are multiple ways to do this online business thing. And one isn't this is the way or the highway. Can you build a business around your passion using a blog? Absolutely. People are doing it every day.
So, Leslie, you just dissed my lawyer friend. You said, look, you're not the type of guy I work with.
No, I didn't diss him. I'm saying, hey, listen, you need to go to Tom because that's what he does. That's not what I do. What you do, Tom, would not keep me going. I don't know if you can tell, but I am someone that is very much into passion. But I'm trying to, what I focus on is how do you combine that passion with what can be profitable? And how do you build that into something that makes sense for you and the lifestyle that you want to live?
So who else would you tell not to work with you that is trying to blog? Because this is interesting, right? Because it's the topic of who shouldn't be building a blog.
Yeah, so along the lines of what you're saying, if you're looking for a quick win, no, you shouldn't be building a blog. That's not what blogging is about. Blogging is about building a long-term business where you have a platform attracting the right kind of people to the products and the service that you have to offer. Is it impossible for you to make money quickly, month one, month two, month three? No, I did it. But I'm not going to tell everyone that is what's going to happen with them. I'm going to walk you through a process of how do you choose a topic? How do you create the right kind of blog? How do you provide the right kind of content to attract that person? And then how do you monetize that blog? That's what I focus on.
What are the ways that you tell people to monetize a blog?
So there are a number of different ways. A lot of people think about ads, and I'm not a big fan of that way because, number one, you need a lot of traffic in order for that to work. And number two, I think ads can be very distracting. Now, I have used ads on my blog, especially my biology blog. That was one of the main monetization strategies because it started getting, before I sold it, it was getting, about 100,000 unique visitors a month. So I was able to make a decent amount of money just having ads on that site. But that's not the way I recommend, especially for beginners. What I recommend is for you to figure out what their pain point is and then either create a product or promote an affiliate product to them. That is one way that you can do it. Or you can provide a service, whether it's coaching or consulting or ebook design or whatever the case might be. What are they looking for and how can you provide that service to them? So there's affiliate marketing, there's you create your own products, you provide your own services. Those are the main ones that I focus on.
How do you recommend for them to find a good price point for these products or services?
Yeah, I always recommend testing. Do your research and then start testing. Research what other bloggers, maybe in tangential niches, are doing, or even in your similar niche. What products are they selling and at what price point are they selling it at? And then the key is to find the highest price point that you could sell it that makes sense for the audience that you're building. So let's say you notice everyone in your space or similar spaces are selling ebooks at a price of $27. Well, you could try that price and then you can test out increasing that price to see how your audience responds to it. So it's about research and testing.
Let's go back to the content calendar for a sec. So
yeah.
We mentioned case studies and teaching people, right? Yeah. So let's say someone wants to create 8 pieces of content per month, which is reasonable, right? 2 per week, that's a good number for Google. Would you recommend the same type of content? So everything is teaching people how to do something, or do you tell them to do variations and try other things?
Oh, definitely try other things. You always want to try things and test to see how your audience responds to it, because you might try something spontaneously. Not everything that I do is teaching. Some of it is just inspirational. Some of it is just me sharing something that's happening in my personal life related to my business. And I find that I get different levels of engagement depending on the type of content that I create. And then I mix it up. The content that I'm creating this year is not going to be the exact same as the content that I made last year, because I'm getting feedback from my audience on a regular basis on, the different things that I try over time. And based on that, I just kind of course correct and adjust a little bit. And my blog kind of evolves with me and my growing audience.
What was one of the main best engaging topics that you wrote about last year?
Okay, last year is not a good year because I took most of the year off for family reasons.
Okay.
So before that, one of the big pieces of content that I created, there was a time when, I think this was the year before, no, it definitely was the year before, a lot of people in my space were talking about Snapchat because Snapchat was becoming this hot thing. And people were wondering, well, how do I use that and use that to build an audience and drive traffic to my blog and all that kind of stuff? So what I decided to do was to create kind of like an extensive, it was more than just a post. It was a post that had like a bunch of different videos showing people how to use it because a lot of people were confused about how to use that and how to use that to, you know, kind of grow your audience. So I created that piece of content and, you know, that got shared like crazy because it was a hot topic at the time. Number one, it was relevant to what a lot of my people were trying to figure out. And the timing, yeah, the timing was just great. So you combine those factors and it worked out very well for me. And now as a result of all of the shares that it got, it's also getting a ton of search engine traffic and it's worked out well.
What happens to your blog when you take a year off?
I didn't take the full year off. I took from March to about August off. I still, like I said, this is what I do now full time. And I have two kids and a wife. We, you know, left the country for a while. It was a death in the family that we were dealing with. And I just needed a break. Fortunately, I had built a business and not just a blog. And I had certain things that were bringing in recurring revenue, and we were able to survive and do just fine with minimal effort. I probably worked one, maybe 2 hours a week just to kind of keep the basic things going. But, you know, the traffic didn't decline significantly. There was some decline because I wasn't creating any new content, but my business was still going. My income went down, but not to the point where it's like, listen, what in the world are we going to do? It went down because I just wasn't doing anything, but we still did well.
Yeah, but, you know, it's interesting because, you know, these things happen, right? We have situations where we have to take things off. Like I had a divorce before, you had a death in the family, right? So, yeah. You know, and we just don't want to work as much. And with blogs, you know, I'm just super curious, you know. So let's say you took off about half a year, right? Just give or take. How much traffic did you lose and how many articles or how long did it take to start regaining traction? You know, I'm curious how Google just took a look at that and what it did.
Yeah, good questions. So I took, I would say I took about 4 months off. And then, you know, there was time around that I just wasn't doing much even when I was back in my business. So it's safe to say that I was unproductive for about half of the year. My traffic probably went down by 10 to 15%. And that's just because there was nothing new. So it continued getting traffic. Just because you're not creating content, that doesn't mean that you're going to lose, you know, that traffic. In fact, my biology blog, along the same lines, when I stopped creating content for that blog, I had about 30,000 unique visitors a month. When I sold the blog after not creating content consistently for about 3 years, it was getting on a good month, 100,000 unique visitors a month. But it's because the content that I created was evergreen content on that blog, and it was very high quality content. So more and more people started linking to that content. More and more people were sharing that content. And after not doing anything for a while, I had way more traffic than when I was actually creating content consistently. There were a few things that I did that got a little bit of publicity here and there, but that was pretty much it. Traffic didn't decline. It just continued going up. And the new owners have not started, you know, adding new content to the blog. And the traffic is just, I mean, it's doing just about the same thing. So it's interesting to see that. Once you have that good quality, evergreen content, that can live on for a very long time.
And on that note, Leslie, where can people find you?
BecomeABlogger.com.
BecomeABlogger.com. Look, man, I'm definitely a big fan now. I like your passion. You know, I'm still a little questioning the whole Become a Blogger thing. But, you know, yeah, look, if someone's got the passion for it and, you know, they can figure out the business model and stuff, yeah. I just, when I see all these travel bloggers, you know, it makes me sad.
No, I definitely hear you. When I see so many bloggers that aren't coming at it the right way and they aren't building a business, I think to myself, well, you are just wasting time. And I think that's part of what you are getting at there. And I completely agree with that part of it. You have to build a business. It's not about just building a blog.
Thank you for coming on, Leslie.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect, Liebelt. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.